Legislative Administration Committee into session. See, Representative Norton, have you looked at the minutes for Tuesday, April 29th? And would you move them?
I have looked at them, Mr. Chair, and I would move the Tuesday, April 29th, 2014 minutes.
Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are adopted. Proposed calendar for today, or for Friday, excuse me, May 2nd. I move the calendar for the day Friday, May 2nd, 2014. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Please note Senate File 2466, its chief author's intent is to insert the House language. Any other discussion at this point? Otherwise, we're going to go into recess. Recess. I said the same thing yesterday. Seeing none, all right, we're in recess.
Call us back to order, members. We're going to take up Representative Metz's House File 3169. And the first thing I'd like to do on that is move that we waive Joint Rule 2.03 on House File 3169. And we need to waive that rule so that this can go from the Rules Committee to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any questions on that? Seeing no questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Representative Metza, welcome to the committee. I'd like to move House File 3169 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Metza is here to talk about his bill, and we also have an amendment. And I'm wondering, Representative Metzger, if you'd like me to move the amendment first to get the bill in the shape you'd like it?
Yes, please.
So I move the A2 amendment. And if you'd speak to the amendment, please, Representative Metzger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This bill was through the committee last year. We discussed everything in detail this year at GovOps and earlier this year again at GovOps with these changes that we've incorporated the A2 amendment. I think it's really the bulk of what we're here to discuss, and it changes a few of the dates in the bill and clarifies a few of the concerns that members had as it was moving through committees, and so I will stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, can you tell me what happens in a situation where the state has experienced an emergency, we have tapped all of our reserve funds, and we still have a salary that is significantly higher? Does it give the legislature the authority then to go in and cut their own salary, or does this bill ban us from ever cutting our own salary?
Representative Anderson, I would defer to our technical staff on that. I don't know for sure how it would be affected. It would come through a regular spending bill, and I believe if we were to vote it down and try to cut the pay, it would basically be like a government shutdown.
So, Representative Metza, Representative Anderson, what I'd like to do is adopt the A2 to get the bill in the order the author would like, and then turn to Mr. McCormick. Just to make sure that the committee is clear on what we're talking about, and then we can take questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
Thank you. So all those in favor of the A2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Mr. McCormick, if you could just walk us through the proposal before us, and then we'll take questions.
Madam Chair, members, what you have before you is the follow-up to the 2013 adoption of a constitutional amendment to be decided by the voters in 2016. The bill before you does four things. It amends the proposed constitutional amendment by stating that none of the members of the Citizen Council envisioned in that constitutional amendment may be the spouse of a current legislator or may be a current legislative employee. This is in addition to some of the people who were not allowed to serve in the original language, and that would be current or former legislators or current or former lobbyists. The second thing it does is it changes the ballot to refer to state legislators as opposed to just legislators. The third thing is it adds a title, which after the A2 amendment will now read, remove lawmakers' power to set their own pay. And the last thing it does is it contains the statutory language creating legislative salary council. This is the council that was proposed in the constitutional amendment, and this is the statutory language to put it into place.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McCormick, if you can tell us if this constitutional amendment is passed, would the legislature at any time be able to cut the salary of lawmakers, or is that strictly forbidden and it only can go through the Compensation Council?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, as I read this, I believe that only the constitutionally appointed council could recommend a reduction in legislative salary. This would remove the ability to raise the pay, legislators' ability to raise their own pay or to lower their own pay.
And Madam Chair,
Representative Anderson,
just to make sure and clear, Mr. McCormick, so we could be in a budget situation where we've exhausted all of our resources and the legislature could not go in and vote to decrease our pay. Is that correct?
I'm sure that's my reading.
Thank you.
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, I think, too, the council is not limited to increasing. The council would also be able, if they didn't feel they were doing a good job or for any reason, they could lower the pay from where it's currently at. There's no process that it is tied to anything other than what they recommend.
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder, Mr. McCormick, is there anything that requires a legislator to take all the pay that they are offered by the state?
Madam Chair,
McCormick?
Members, there is nothing, and members have in the past and maybe in the current moment voluntarily turned back pay.
So, Mr. McCormick, thank you, Madam Chair. In the case of like a government shutdown or something, if people want to give back their pay to the state, they could do that.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And two questions on, is it possible for the Compensation Council to put in place an inflationary increase so the legislative pay would increase every single year based on inflation?
Representative Metza.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I guess, yes, that would be a possibility. However, I would say that the way that the bill is written, it's geographically balanced as well as possible, and so as people move around the board, I would see changing frequently as far as membership. And so I guess that as people were, if that option were to come up, that it would probably be discussed in future years as they prescribe from year to year.
Representative Anderson.
And Madam Chair, Representative Metza, you had mentioned that it is possible for the Compensation Council to cut legislators' pay. I only know of one circumstance that that's ever happened. Can you name any others?
I've only been here 2 years and couldn't really give you an answer. I defer to Lynn Carlson on that one.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Representative Metza, I think you misunderstood my question. I was looking at the nation overall as a whole that have gone to there. I think there's about 19 that have done a compensation council, and only one of those has actually ever decreased the pay for legislators. And it was in a state that they were making, you know, close, well, if you tie in all of their benefits, they were making over $120,000 compared to our $31,000. So the 5% ding that they had wasn't significant when you consider, you know, where they were already started. So can you tell me if there's ever been any other circumstance out there where one of these councils has actually decreased the pay of legislators?
Representative Metza.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, not to my home.
Thank you, Representative Metza. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the selective amount of money that the leadership receives, is that governed by the Rules Committee? My first additional compensation in some form, leadership gets. Does that come from?
That is set in the rules, Representative Earhart.
That's the rule. Well, can this council selectively, if they didn't like you, what you were doing, lower your salary? Or?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Earhart, I think what you're getting at is, will they take into account our other forms of reimbursement or any financial things that we get paid for with the legislature, whether it's per diem mileage? And the answer to that is yes, they are mandated in this to take all of those different aspects into account as they're prescribing the actual salary, which is different from those reimbursements, which will still be in the current areas that they are.
Representative Duct.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think this might be a question for Representative McCormick, but I'll defer if somebody else wants to answer it. In the amendment, lines 1.9 and 110, and this amendment went on the bill, so that language that says...
Could you speak up?
Sure. So on lines 1.9 and 110 of the amendment, the language that says any salary increases for legislators in law, put in law by the legislature after January 5th, 2015, is repealed. Can you explain what the purpose of that language is and what the idea is behind that?
Representative Metz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that was something that Senator Egan felt more passionately about in terms of going through the bill. But overall, basically, what it is saying is anything that we've done up till now will be replaced by what the council will be doing in the future. And so any increase that is not effective in law, is the way I would read that, myself, would be repealed.
Mr. McCormick?
Madam Chair, what I would say in addition is that hypothetically, suppose that we, legislature, had increased our pay going forward after January 5, 2015. Suppose we'd doubled everybody's salary in the future. That would be repealed and be in the constitutional amendment and replaced by the actions of this council.
Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. McCormick. It seems to me kind of odd. We're putting in place a repealer that would repeal future language. I mean, we're passing a repealer into law now for something that hasn't been passed yet. Can you think of another example where that has happened, or am I misunderstanding what the purpose of this language is?
Representative Metza.
Madam Chair, Representative Dell, I think basically the point of it is saying that anything we do through that date, January 5th, 2015, is null and void, because moving forward from that date is when that group would take over the authority that we currently have and exercise their right to put the salary wherever they are.
I think the proposal, members, is stating in a couple of different ways that if we pass this, that the legislature will no longer have the authority to raise its own pay. That we're going to put that question to citizens, to Minnesotans, on the ballot in 2016, and in the intervening time, that a salary increase would not take effect. I think that the author of the bill, Representative Metza, and Senator Ekin and others have felt strongly for a long time that the legislature should not have this authority unto itself, and that's what this proposal is about taking the authority to raise our pay out of our hands and putting it into a council that can make decisions about raising or lowering our pay. And they can do it as they choose to. And as Representative Hortman has mentioned, each of us have that authority to turn back our pay. And I certainly have done that during a government shutdown in 2011. I know other members did as well. So I think with capital letters and an underscore, Representative Metza and others are saying with this piece of legislation that legislators should not set their own pay. And that is the purpose of the language, and that's the purpose of the ballot question. Representative Dell.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that. My question was for Mr. McCormick. on that particular language. The language itself just seems like it maybe isn't the best way to word it, and I guess I'm interested in Mr. McCormick's opinion of that.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, it helps to understand that what we're amending is the actual language of the Constitution by adding this repealer. And I think it's important to think this through in terms of the dates. In November of 2016, the ballot question will be put before the members. And then if adopted, the Constitution will then read as it is laid out on page 3, lines 3.5 to 3.26, with this additional sentence repealing any action that took place from January 5, 2015, onward. And I think, I can't speak for the authors, but I think the intent here is to say that having adopted this, the voters can't be gained by having a pay raise put in place just prior to by the legislature, just prior to the ballot question going forward. So under a hypothetical that in the next term, January, and the 2015-2016 legislative term, the legislature had decided to change pay of members. Under that hypothetical, when the voters adopted this constitutional amendment, they would be repealing any of those changes that the legislature had put in place in those 2 years.
Representative Delt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in a previous question, Mr. McCormick, you answered that you didn't believe that the legislature would have the authority to reduce its pay either. But this language doesn't say set its pay. It says any salary increase for legislators authorized in law is repealed. Why is it worded that way and not to say that legislators would not be allowed to set their own salary or something along that nature? And I don't. Why did you answer the question? Or does this differ from your previous answer on would this allow legislators to reduce their pay? This specifically only says increase their pay.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, as I read this, this would affect any pay increase that was put into place in the time period of January 5th, 2015 through the adoption of the amendment. And after that, the effective language would be actually found on line 3.9, which is the salary of senators and representatives shall be prescribed by council. And that term prescribed would allow the salary to be set at any level that the council prescribed. And so they could, going forward, set it at a lower rate, set it at the same rate you're getting now, set it at an increased rate.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know when this bill was on the floor a year ago, I spoke out pretty adamantly against this. I even made a motion to table this bill so we could take up a budget bill, which was waiting at the desk. But Democrats decided that their priority was to take up a constitutional amendment to set their own pay. It appears to me that this language in the amendment is completely unnecessary then based on Mr. McCormick's answer on 1.9 and 110. And changing the amendment name to take away our power to set our own pay, I think everybody knows, and I don't think anybody's fooled, that that this committee will raise the pay of legislators. It looks like these amendments in this bill really are designed at pulling the wool over the voters' eyes about what's going to happen here and making it sound like, we won't have the authority to raise our pay anymore when, we haven't done that, at least in the last, 15 or 20 years. It seems to me like this is an attempt to get this thing to pass, and unfortunately, I don't think it's a very accurate representation of what this does.
Representative Dowd, I'm just wondering if you could repeat that. We haven't raised our salary in the last...
Since 98,
so
I think.
The legislature has not voted to raise its pay.
That's right. If this passes, the legislature's pay will increase. And the committee, the committee that looks at the employees' pay has looked at the legislator's pay and has recommended an increase multiple times in the past, and that's what this is. It's an attempt to raise legislators' pay, but yet the titling and the messaging on this, I think, is misleading. We're trying to mislead the voters into thinking that this somehow is going to result in decreased pay for legislators or something like that. I don't think there's anybody in this building or within a mile of this building that believes that's the case. So, unfortunately, I think Democrats should be a little more honest with the voters and what this really is an attempt to do.
Well, Representative Dodd, I will speak for myself, and others can speak for themselves, but I have way more faith in Minnesotans than I suspect you are suggesting you do. They are very capable of reading language on paper and understand that right now the ability to set pay rests with legislators. Right now, the Constitution says it is the legislature that sets its own pay. I don't think we should have that authority. There can be honest disagreement about that, but I think we should take that out of the legislature's hands, and we should give it to a body that has as its job that in a professional way. They can make a determination. They can raise our pay. They can lower our pay. They can freeze our pay. But I think Minnesotans would agree that it should not be our power. It should not be our authority to set our own pay. Most Minnesotans don't have that opportunity to set their own pay. I don't think that they think that we should set our own pay. And so while you are suggesting that we're trying to do something otherwise, I think we're being very clear with Minnesotans that right now the authority rests with us. We don't believe that it should. We believe it should go to a professional council that can do that work without the forces of politics, as we're seeing debated right here at this table. And I think Minnesotans are smart enough to figure that out.
I think that there's a reason, Madam Chair, that the legislature has not raised its pay since 1998, and that is because it would be incredibly unpopular with the voters. I think everybody knows that this is a backdoor way for Democrats to get the legislature a pay increase. And with that, I won't have any more comments.
Great. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, I think I missed a little comment that you had made to Representative Earhart. So what this constitutional amendment is just dealing with the legislative salary. So the legislature could come back and increase their per diem. They could increase their travel expenses, their housing expenses, internet, all of those things still remains in the control of the legislature would be voting for that kind of compensation. Is that correct?
That is, Madam Chair.
Representative Metza.
Representative Anderson, that is correct. Basically, the commission will deal with the salary only. We will still deal with the other items. I believe that there are federal caps in place and what we can submit for DM or mileage even as an out-state member. There's only a certain amount federally that I can claim as a state representative, and I believe all those would still apply to us. And
great. Thank you.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to get into that discussion, but I'd like to ask a question for Mr. McCormick instead. And that is, you know, we have constitutional amendments. They supplant language that had been in the Constitution before. And so I'm assuming that any issues concerning the separation of powers having to do, in this case, with the executive or the judiciary appointing people to this council would not violate basic principles of separation of powers having to do with compensation in this case?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, the reason this is a constitutional amendment is to overcome the constitutional provisions that give the legislature the ability to set its own salary in future years, not for current members. And so this constitutional amendment, if approved by the voters, would supersede that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I assume that would be the answer, of course, but I thought it would be useful to reinforce it. You know, concerning salary of legislators, in the past when we reduced to per diem, I made a comment at Rules Committee at that point that there are a number of persons like myself who are not dependent on legislative salary. And this is leading us into a growing problem in which the representation here in the legislature is becoming more truncated. Either younger people who are just getting started and do not have a lot of personal financial obligations, home mortgages, and I know there are exceptions. There are many people who are making sacrifice to serve here. Financial, personal sacrifice, so I'm not negating that. But there are a number of persons like myself who are in a different financial situation in which we can serve with a minimal salary that this legislature presents. But I think there is a real issue concerning our democracy and fair representation of the general public when you, because of salary, are effectively excluding certain segments of the population from having an opportunity to serve. And in a democracy, I just don't think that's healthy. And we understand the political ramifications for raising salary by the legislature. It happened the last time. The public did not take kindly to it, and a lot of people who were good citizen legislators were voted out of office foolishly in that case, in my opinion. I'm certainly supportive of this constitutional amendment in spite of some of the objections and concerns that legitimately have been brought here. But we have to face the fact, too, that we have a large percentage of the population who could not even name who our legislators are or what they do. And we do have to think, I think, more generally about the general welfare of the state, being able to attract and retain the kind of people to serve in the legislature that would be good representatives and represent the general public, not just certain groups who are retired, older persons maybe who, as I said, are not financially dependent on serving, or others. So that's my point, I think, over and above all these parochial issues of who is up and who is down politically. I think we need to get past that.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, you've got an amendment here, and we're sending this back to Ways and Means. Could you tell us why we're doing this amendment here and not in Ways and Means? And then also, are we going to be doing anything else to this bill in Ways and Means before kicking it back out? And are we there just to adjust the cost of the putting it on the ballot, or why? Just a little bit more about where we're heading back to Ways and Means and what's going to happen there.
Representative Metza.
Madam Chair, Representative Dean, I know that we're here because I got told to be here as part of the process. I'm still learning how that all works behind the scenes here. But overall, if there were some things that we were going to address in Ways and Means, should there be an amendment that had been filed that we accepted today other than my own, we could have addressed that there. And or if you have suggestions or any ideas that could help tighten up any of the language before then, I'd be happy to work with you to get it in that shape so we can offer that amendment there.
Oh, I do. And Madam Chair,
Dean.
Representative Metza, I assume that it's there because there's a change in cost and we got to go back and rejigger something that costs more or less money, and that's why we're in Ways and Means. Is that correct?
Representative Dean, I understand that it's going to Ways and Means because there are future costs attached to the council.
To the council? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. After some earlier questions by Representative Dowd, I actually got more confused than I was to start with. On line 1.9 and 1.10 again, I think, Madam Chair, you answered what that point was, but could you talk a little bit about that line, Representative Metza, those two lines? Any salary increase for legislators authorized in law by the legislature after January 5th, 2015 is repealed. What's the purpose of that, and what exactly does it do?
It's political.
I think that, Mr. McCormick, if you could answer that question one more time. And I know, you know.
Sorry.
Thank you, Representative Dell, for the editorial comment, and thank you for the apology.
Madam Chair, members, my understanding of this line is that it dovetails into the actual language of the Constitution and would be placed in the Constitution. And it would affect salary increases that, in hypothetical terms, may have been adopted between our salary amounts set by the legislature between January 5th, 2015 and the adoption of this constitutional amendment by the voters. So if the next legislature on January 6th passed a bill that was signed into law that changed the salaries of the members, that would be repealed by the adoption of the constitutional amendment by the public. At that point, the salaries would be set as prescribed by the council.
Representative Pepin.
Madam Chair, and Mr. McCormick, what is the timing of that? So when exactly would the new salary, potential salary, be repealed? Would it be the day after it's adopted? Would it be on March 31st? Would it be July of that year? When would that salary increase be repealed and replaced with the new salary?
Madam Chair, members, I think the personnel, people of the House and Senate would probably make that effective the day the constitutional amendment was certified as adopted by the Secretary of State, and then would adjust salaries going forward from that point to repeal the salary. But I think that's what I would tell them if they asked me how to handle it.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would that be, are you suggesting November of 2016 then?
Yes.
So just to be clear then, there's nothing in this. In fact, this amendment actually allows us to increase our salaries before the Compensation Council is even enacted. So there's nothing that would prevent us from raising our salaries before then. Is that correct?
Chair members, until this is adopted, there's nothing to prevent you from, except the current constitutional prohibition on raising your salary within the term you're serving. So there's nothing to prevent you from raising the salary of the next term of legislators.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Mr. McCormick. Mr. McCormick, you had stated when asked, in light of the exclusion of legislators from this commission, whether it would implicate separation of powers, and you had stated that separation of powers is a function of the Constitution, and we are allowing the voters to elect to change the Constitution, whereby it wouldn't violate the state Constitution. State Constitution's or separation of powers doctrine, because it was actually in the Constitution. My question is that whether or not separation of powers was a condition by which, and is a little nuanced, so bear with me. Can states elect in their constitutions to deviate from a Republican form of government, which is guaranteed by the United States Constitution for the states, and under which separation of powers is a founding pillar of the Republican form of government? Is there a chance that voters could elect to manipulate the Constitution to such an extent that it would violate the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of a Republican form of government?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, there is such a chance in that the Minnesota Constitution is constrained by the United States Constitution, and that a federal court could rule any provision of the Minnesota Constitution as unconstitutional under the federal Constitution. Question of whether it violates some sort of core principle of what a Republican government is a broader question. It's possible for a state like Nebraska to choose to have a unicameral legislature. It would be hypothetically possible, arguably, for a state to choose a parliamentary form of government. And so I would never say never, that we could never find ourselves in conflict in a federal court provision. But I think there's wide latitude as to what a Republican form of government is.
Thank you.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, my question has to deal with the relationship between the House and the Senate. Is there anything in this constitutional amendment that would either procure or prevent different salaries between the two bodies?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I don't believe that there would be I don't believe that they would be able to do separate I don't think it would be a common sense thing for them to do. However, I do think that they would have the option if they would want to prescribe that the senator receive X amount, that the legislator in the House receive X amount, that would be fully acceptable. And under the commission's jurisdiction, I guess I'd ask for clarification.
Mr. McCormick?
I'm sure I concur with Representative Metza.
So just for clarification, so they could set different salaries for the two different bodies?
Madam Chair, members, yes.
And they could base that on other compensation that we receive? Because it says in here they're supposed to take that into consideration.
Mr. McCormick?
Madam Chair, members, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Dell?
I just wanted to request a roll call.
Representative Boone?
Chair, and I apologize if this was covered before, but if Mr. McCormick could address, I'm just wondering about the action of this commission and the responsibility of the legislature to appropriate these funds. I'm thinking about the constitutional amendment that was last passed in 2008, the sales tax money. They're still required to have appropriations and legislation ratified by the House and Senate to spend those dollars. So would that be equally true of this?
Mr. McCormick?
I'm sure members, yes. The Constitution requires for all funds to be appropriated by law, which is something that only the legislature can do. And so the salary is prescribed by law by the new council. The money is appropriated by law by the legislature. And if the legislature chose not to fund the legislature itself, then the legislature would have no money. Or if they chose to specifically not fund this portion. At that point, a member might have standing to go to the district court and argue that the legislature has violated the Constitution. We would at least have an interesting set of questions.
Representative Loon.
Are you aware, and I understand there's a few other states that have similar type commissions, if that's ever developed as an issue?
Madam Chair, members, I'm not aware of that.
Thanks.
Representative Albright.
Madam Chair, but are the findings or recommendations of the Legislative Salary Council, as it is described in 3169, would they be binding upon the legislature?
Madam Chair,
McCormick.
I think as we noted earlier, any given member has the right not to accept their salary, but this is the salary that would be prescribed for members.
Representative Albright.
Madam Chair, so it's the opinion that is a recommendation only.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, no. This would be the salary prescribed and set for all members of the legislature by this council. It's not a recommendation. It's the prescription of the salaries for the members. Then each member would have to choose whether to accept that salary or not. But, for example, the legislature could not vote itself a higher or lower salary at that point.
Is there anybody from the public who is interested in testifying? Representative Norton?
I'm not from the public. It's still not too late. Madam Chair, I'm sitting here a little stewing yet a little from the comments made by Representative Dowd earlier. And Representative Benson addressed a lot of the issues, but citizens in my community, and I know them quite well, having knocked on most of their doors for the last 10 years now, they don't know what we make. They think we live in Washington, D.C. They think we get $200,000 a year or $160,000 a year. So I think there's a lot of confusion out there. When they do find out what we make, because it's information, and when asked, I tell them, they're amazed, appalled. They say, well, you're part-time, because a lot of us in our rhetoric sometimes talk about what we're maybe technically viewed as a part-time legislator. We all know that we work very hard all year. And some of us, Madam Chair, have a really hard time keeping our employment all the time. I've tried twice to work in my 8 years here at the Capitol because I'm not here in body all the time, and I have found it very difficult to maintain a job because I have to disappear, and I let down the folks I work for. So while we may consider ourselves a part-time legislature, sometimes it means we can't work a full-time job. And Madam Chair, I think, including having talked with my chamber, I think people think we should make more than we do. And the issue that they often have is that we're raising our own salary, and that sounds really bad. They don't know what we're raising it from and what it might need to be raised to. And I think there would be great comfort, at least in my constituency, in knowing that someone else outside was taking care of that. And Madam Chair, our school board has done the same thing over the years, has had a citizens committee that has chamber members and citizens and others on it that makes those decisions and makes a recommendation. And it's worked very well. And unfortunately, they haven't done it for a few years. But before I leave this, as a single woman working in the legislature, I had the experience to try to purchase a home during my time here. And I was told by the bank that I didn't qualify for a particular loan because this isn't considered a full-time job, and it's only guaranteed for 2 years. And it's a financial hardship for me. I was able to negotiate something. I paid more, frankly, and it was a detriment to me to be a legislator at that time. But, you know, we do what we have to do because we're here to do a great public service. But for people moving ahead, not everyone's maybe going to be able to do that. And I really want our legislature to represent the citizenship out there, and they can't do it with what we offer. And if a citizens committee can sit down and look at that and make certain that legislators, when they're here serving their state, can make enough to not qualify for food stamps or not qualify for public programs, frankly, if they should happen to have a lot of children, I think that would be a good thing. And I think our citizens would appreciate that. So I didn't mean to go on this long, Madam Chair, but I really dislike when we politicize something as like this and get accused of politicizing it for other reasons. It's a necessity that legislators are compensated properly, and to have an outside group do it, in my mind, would be the most wise. And I thank Representative Metza for bringing his bill and his amendment forward and hope we can get this taken care of.
Representative Dowd.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate Representative Norton's comments, and I know that many of us do make sacrifices to serve here, and I think and that's somewhat part of the point. My problem, really, and I apologize if my comment was offensive, and I do get passionate about this issue, my problem is I see this amendment and the bill itself as being political in the way that they're worded. And I believe that to be intentional. And I do believe that this is a backdoor to a pay increase for legislators. If we're not willing to raise our own pay, and we can't explain that to the voters, and that ultimately, I think, is the reason why our pay has not been increased, because it would be incredibly unpopular with the voters. And if we're not willing and we can't make the argument to the voters that that's necessary, putting this in place, I think, can't be seen as anything but a backdoor to a pay increase. And because of that, I mean, I really do have a problem with this language in the Amendment 1.9 and 1.10. And it's certainly unnecessary language, but it looks like it's placed there, you know, to make it look like, you know, we're taking away the legislature's ability to raise its pay, when that's really not what this is about. We're giving this other board authority because everybody, wink, wink, knows that our pay will get raised when this happens. And I think that's the problem. If we really believe that it's the right thing to do and legislators need to get paid more money, then let's take a vote on the House floor and let's go and talk to our constituents about why that's important. If we can't make that argument, then we have no business doing it. And for that reason, and I do believe that this bill is misleading to the public, but for that reason, I'm going to make a motion to table this bill here in the Rules Committee, and I request a roll call on that motion.
Representative Dowd has moved to table the bill. A roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Albright.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Benson?
No.
Representative Carlson?
No.
Representative Dowd?
Yes.
Representative Dean is not here. Representative Earhart?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Portman?
No.
Representative Johnson? Representative Lesh?
Toronto.
Representative Lilly?
No.
Representative Loon?
Aye.
Representative Moline?
No.
Representative Norton?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Pepin?
Yes.
Representative Purcell?
No.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
No.
Representative Woodard? She was not here anymore.
Being 6 ayes and 14 noes, the motion is not adopted. Representative Pepin?
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on some of the things that have been said. And, you know, I don't think this is really a question today about, you know, whether or not legislators are making enough money. My issue with it, and this might even have an issue necessarily with the compensation constable, my issue is that on the way the question is written, it says, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to remove state legislators' ability to set their own salaries? And I feel that that's not a very honest way to put this forward, because I think that anybody in marketing would look at that and say that's a leading question. That's a question that's designed to evoke a yes answer, and it's a push question. And I think that if we really wanted to be truthful with the voters, we would say how much we made, and then we'd ask them the question about establishing an independent council, because it implies that currently we're raising our salaries all the time, and that's not the case. I think it's a very misleading question, and I think it's further misleading when we add, with the amendment, when we imply that we're going to repeal something that doesn't even yet exist, because we still have the ability to raise our salaries before this goes in. The compensation council can raise it back up to whatever we chose to raise it to, or they can raise it more. So the biggest issue with this, I think, is that I just don't think it's very honest. We're not being honest with the people of Minnesota when we put forward a question that's a purposeful leading question that evokes a yes answer.
Representative Metzo?
Madam Chair, Representative Pepin, I would actually disagree. I think remove lawmakers' power to set their own pay is pretty clear. It does, you know, should it pass what it says it's going to do, it removes our ability to set our own pay. And I would just disagree with you on record.
Seeing no further questions. Members, I want to thank everybody for a debate. It does really evoke for me our perspectives, which of course are honest and our differences are honest, but I also sense a real divide between optimism and pessimism, or maybe cynicism, about the actions of the legislature. And I work very hard to talk with Minnesotans, to listen to them, and I want them to have confidence in our ability to represent their interests well. And I often hear a steady pessimism about the work that we're doing and the rhetoric that's coming from the other side of the aisle. And so I'll just, I think, leave it at that. I want to thank Representative Metza for bringing this forward. I do think that it is, from my perspective, right that we take the power of legislators to raise their own pay out of our hands and set it in a professional council. And with that, the clerk will take the roll. I'll renew my motion, and the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Murphy?
Aye.
Representative Albright?
No.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Benson?
Aye.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Dowd?
No.
Representative Earhart?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Portman?
Yes.
Representative Lynn Lesh?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Loon?
No.
Representative Moline?
Aye.
Representative Norton?
Aye.
Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Purcell?
Aye.
Representative Torkelson?
No.
Representative Ward?
Honest, yes.
Honest John.
Representative Zellers. There are 14 ayes and 6 nays. The motion is adopted. And with that, members, we are in recess.